So I thought maybe I should just give a little bit of introduction of who I am. It's really a small matter in light of God's big kingdom. I grew up in a conservative church till I was about 10, and then my mother started attending Charity, and my dad and I found our way through a more liberal Mennonite church for a couple years. And then through my teen years, I was churchless. I only went to church because friends were going and there was no commitment to the Lord. I felt the invitation of the Lord several times through my youth, but chose not to give my heart to the Lord. But I'm so thankful that at the age of 24, actually age of 23, he again convicted me of my need of a Savior. And at the age of 23, I did yield my heart to the Lord. And it's been a joy to have my sins forgiven. Hallelujah. And it's been also a joy to serve him for what he's done. And it certainly hasn't been maybe, how do I say it? In the last year or two, I've been tempted to look at the heathen and wonder, you know, why don't they seem to be troubled? I must admit, there's sometimes those things and feelings go through my mind. But like the psalmist David, he remembers their end. And we have so much more of a sure foundation that he's given through Jesus Christ. And so, so then at the age of 24, I started attending Effort of Christian Fellowship. I met my wife, Janet, there. And we were married in 2005. And we've been, this December, it'll be 20 years. It's been a growing thing, and God has been good through it all. So we were at Ephrata, and then in 2010, Ephrata had a split, and Joy Christian Fellowship was birthed at that time, and we were a part of that congregation. We went along with that congregation and served as a deacon there a couple years, and then recently I was ordained as a minister. I think it's about 3 years ago, 3 years ago. So there's a little bit of my journey. And some of the older ones that know Chris and Lizzie Esch, if you know them, that is my uncle and aunt. So a little bit of background there. Chris and my mother are brother and sister. So you can ask more questions afterwards if you have any there. Not that this is really important, but this is my first time as a minister standing at another congregation's pulpit. So we're here. But God is good, and we're going to lift him up tonight, and I'm thankful that we can do that. That I don't have to lift up some agenda of my own, but I get to lift up his word and his truth to you here tonight. I invite you to stand with me for a word of prayer, and then we'll go into his word. Our Heavenly Father, we are here tonight because of the finished work of the cross, and we just want to invite you into this presence here. We want to invite you here, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. Lord, without you, we make a mess of things. Without you, Lord, we just live life. But Lord, we long to see the life that's more abundant that you've promised in your scriptures. And so, Lord, we invite you here tonight with your Holy Spirit. May you strengthen this congregation, these people that have attended here tonight. Would you feed them? Would you encourage them to love you deeper, love you more? So thank you that we can lift you up here tonight. We pray that you would break the bread of life, the word here tonight, that it could nourish and quicken us, and that we could get to the end of our days, and we get to hear the words, "Well done." So we're here tonight to help that journey. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stay standing with me, and I invite you to open your Bibles with me, and we'll read the passage of Scripture that I'd like to dig into. We're looking at Psalms 1, Psalms chapter 1. We'll just be going down through there and seeing what the Lord would have for us in this portion of Scripture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This is God's word. You may be seated. So the plan is to just go down through here and learn what we can do to add to our lives to help our journey as we look forward to being with the Lord. I would like to invite you to use your imagination a little bit and ponder with me. When you delight in something, I want you to reflect a little bit of your heart posture of when you delight in something. So I'm just going to give an illustration. So maybe some of us just are delighted to see a beautiful sunset. Or maybe we're delighted to enjoy a favorite dish. Or maybe we're delighted to just be in somebody else's presence that has been a blessing to us. Do you sense what happens in your heart? Delight. Oh, that's a beautiful scenery. What happens to the heart posture? It tends to kind of relax? Kind of calming? Or is it tense and I think when we delight in something, there's something that kind of comes over us, and I think that's a good thing. But the scriptures here are inviting us to delight in the Lord and in his word. So that I just want to invite you to think about this as we go through here tonight. We'll start in verse 1, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So is that something that is applicable to our generation? Do we walk with sinners? I don't know that I do a lot. I mean, I farm for a living, so I get up and I'm with my family and I go off to the farm and I meet customers a little bit, but I don't walk with them. So is this scripture applicable today? I think it is. What about standing? Or sitting. As I read down through this, I felt like probably where we are faced with it the most, and I don't know about you and your congregation and where you have the use of the internet and the availability to view things. But as I pondered that, in this generation that we live in, this maybe is where we need to be on our guard. And how much do we sit or stand or sit with people that maybe we don't know as well? And yes, they have great sounding words, but do they know the Lord? And so I just want to invite us to consider, where do we spend our time? What is our interaction with those around us? And also, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. To me, that looks like a very relaxed state. He's sitting down, and they're like really engaged. And I don't assume that we do any of that here, but let's just be mindful of our interaction. And the world has great swelling ideas, and it promotes a lot of great ideas, new ideas. But this is the word of life. This is the one that gives us hope for the end. And so when new ideas present themselves, can it be backed by this? I just want to leave you with that. In Romans, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." The Lord wants us to have a renewed mind, and that comes by sitting with Him and His Word. This is how we have a renewed mind, is when we sit with Him. Ephesians 5, verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And so when you're going to walk, or when you're going to sit or stand with these, would you be willing to possibly reprove them if they are in darkness? That's a high calling for 2025, to be able to actually say, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, I'm lifting up a high standard, and I'm challenging myself to these things. This message is, I've experienced both sides of this passage of Scripture. I've experienced what it's like to just be in delight with the Lord. But I've also realized that I was finding my delight in other things. So I just want to invite us here to not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. All right, I think we'll move on to verse 2. To me, this is probably the highlight of this passage. To me, it's what brings this whole passage together. Because if I could get you to delight, if I could get you to, you know, I don't have to get you to do this. This is the Lord's heart for you and your relationship with Him. He is inviting you to this kind of delight. He delights in you. Could we delight in Him? Could we delight in His Word? Could we allow the time just sitting with Him? I know in our busy Lancaster County lifestyle, maybe you don't struggle with it, but I do. Springs are really tough to take the time to just sit and delight in His Word. And yeah, after farming for 20 years, I don't know that I've still gotten this down very well yet, to just delight all the time in the Lord. The drive to get up and get gone. But when I do, the experience of that awe and peace, it's a blessing. But his delight, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Delight is a pleasure, it's a desire, it's a valuable thing. Delight describes kind of an heart attitude of something. It's an attitude about God and who he is. And so the challenge that the word here says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I just want to how can I say this? The law is the heart of God. It's not just the do's and the don'ts, but it's the heart of who God is. And it's the heart that he wants you to get and understand. Would you delight, do you delight, to sit with the Lord and his word? Because it's how you get to know the Lord. I tend to think that maybe it's both, but I tend to think that, you know, we can actually somewhat change what we delight in. So, I know growing up, this is kind of a small matter of delight in comparison to the Word of God, but growing up, cooked red beets were not a delight. I don't know if anybody likes cooked red beets here, and that's fine if you don't. But you know, it's part of a summer delight for me to enjoy cooked red beets with butter. It could be that my wife knows how to dress them up better than my mother. I don't know. But I think just, you know, eating them, experiencing them, I think we change. And I think we also can change in our delight. Like, you might delight something that takes your time away from the Lord. And I just want to challenge you. You may be wrestling here with, wow, maybe I do delight sometimes in the wrong thing. And I don't necessarily, like right now, you might not be experiencing, yeah, I want to really sit with the Lord. That sounds like a really delight. I don't really want to eat red beets. I don't want to. Like, you might not be engaged with that. I just want to encourage you that it's okay. It's okay if you're not there. But would you be willing to start spending time with the Lord and allowing that connection and that peace and that awe that we experience in his delight? Would you allow that to start? Would you put yourself out there to allow that to become a delight? I just want to encourage you, because I think it can change. I know this has kind of had been my experience, that the more I spend in his word, the more it means something to me. And I would trust that it would be for you likewise. Now, if you come to his law and you aren't finding it delight, well, I want to encourage you that it's more than just the word. It's the Lord that you want to connect with. It's that relationship that you want to cultivate. It's more than just the law. It's the Lord. And it's the Lord who saves us. And it's the Lord who quickens us. And it's the Lord who empowers us to face trials and temptations. It's the Lord. And so that is why we delight in him, is because he's our victory. He's our joy, even in the midst of sorrow. He's our strength when we are weak. He is our strength when we are weak. Could you be delighted that he is your strength when you are weak? He is your joy when you have no song. You know, the choice is yours. It really is yours. Joshua 24:15. He invited his people in his day, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers serve, which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites, or whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And I think it seems to me like the God of this world, the enemy of our souls, knows that if he can get us to delight in other things other than the Lord, he can be the victor. So I just want to challenge you that you be mindful of the God of this world that wants to awe you and delight you with things that are not favorable for the ways of the Lord. Let's look at the word law a little bit. I want to just encourage us to go beyond just the written word. John 17:17 says it this way, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Jesus is talking about his disciples, that they be sanctified through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This would be what I'm lifting up to you as far as the law, and to sit with it. John 8:31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus also challenged, I think it was the Pharisees, in John 5:39. He says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." So search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Why do we find eternal life in the scriptures? Jesus says, and they, the scriptures, are what testify of me. So I just want to lift up to you that when you sit and meditate with the law of the Lord, it's about the one that it's speaking of. It's about Jesus. And they are they which testify of me. It's not just the law. You know, the Pharisees, they just did the law. Do you think they delighted in the law? I think they delighted to put, I mean, it seems like, according to, if I understand correctly, Jesus describes them as they delighted to put the law and heavy burdens on other people. They delighted in that, it seemed. But their focus was not on God. Their focus was not on the Lord. And so, I can fall into that trap where I focus too much on the word and not the Lord. So I just want to leave you with that caution that that if you don't have a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not sure how much delight you will find. It will be dry. But when you have a relationship, and the Lord speaks to you, and you speak to Him, and there's that communion, and that's where delight can really flourish and become alive. So do you know Him? Do you know Him? Today is the day of salvation. You can get to know Him today if you don't. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There is here is something that you can begin to practice to help you on your Christian journey. To not be offended. Delight yourself in the Lord. Love His truth. Love His word. Love Him. The next one that we would like to look at is to meditate. And so coming back to the description that I said about, when you find yourself that you're delighting in something, or you're delighting in the view of the sunset, or you're delighting, there's reflection going on. There's pondering. There's things that are happening deep inside. And this needs to be a part of when we sit with the Lord and when we sit with His Word, that we're meditating. It's not just we read it and done, but it's a pondering. Meditate means to ponder, study, speak, talk, utter, moan. And the psalmist says, let's do that day and night. Probably my least favorite preacher is myself. But I think meditating is part of preaching to ourselves, challenging ourselves. Is this the right way to go? Is this what the Lord would have for us? And I think meditating is part of that, when you just sit and you reflect and you ponder and even challenge yourself. Day and night. So when you're tempted to covet, preach to yourself. Meditate upon that. Reflect on that. Is this the heart of God? Why do you need that to be fulfilled? Why do you need that item or that you might be coveting? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Is He enough? Will He provide? Will He fulfill your joy? Is He enough? Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So set your affections on things above, meditate, ponder them, allow your mind to be transformed by the renewing of your mind by the written word. If it was left up to us, Can you imagine if there wasn't this standard of God's holiness, and it was all just left up to each individual to come up to a moral standard of living? I think we would all pretty much have a lot of self little kingdoms. Well, this is the way it needs to be over here, and this is how you're going to do it. Aren't we glad that we have one set of standard that we can all come to with mutual agreement? Set your affections on things above. Meditate, ponder. Allow your mind to be renewed. Now on to verse 3, where he describes that the man that delights, the man and woman that delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night, there's going to be fruit. There's more to it than just that delight. That delight and that awe in that moment of being in the presence of the Lord. That's great. That's beautiful. But there's more of that. There's more than just that. And that's what we want to look at here tonight in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Who wants to be prosperous? Who wants to bear fruit? Who wants to be a vessel useful unto the Lord? Make the Lord your delight and meditate on his law day and night. And you shall be like a tree that's rooted, or like a house. Jesus used the description of the foolish man and the wise man. The foolish man built his house on the sand, and because he didn't listen to the word of God. But God is inviting us to establish our life on him and his word, and it'll be like a rock, and we'll become like a wise man that's strong and rooted, and it's similar to I keep going back to this vision or this picture in my mind about just viewing an incredible scenery, and there's that awe, and it's like things are okay. And that's why this tree is like that, is because he's rooted in the Lord. He's been in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord was going to take care of us, and he is our strength when we are weak, and he's our joy when we're down. That's why this tree can bear fruit. It's because he's connected to the vine. Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And I know what Jesus meant when he said, without me, ye can do nothing. I wish that were a little bit more true, that I can do nothing. And this is what I was thinking when I say that. I find in myself I can do things. The arm of flesh does kind of amazing things. But I think what the Lord is referring to when he says we can do nothing, it means we can't do anything that bears good fruit. We can't do anything that brings eternal life. We can't do anything that encourages the other person without being connected to the Lord. It's that connection with in the being in the vine that we can bring forth that more abundant life. And I think that's what he means when he says, we can do nothing. And I think what I'm feeling is, I see in myself sometimes I do things in my flesh and in the arm of the flesh. And it's true. I can't bring forth the fruit of righteousness. Isaiah 61:1 talks about the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. When we delight in the Lord, and when we meditate, and we are at awe with who the Lord is and what he's done for us, then we can somewhat connect with the Lord Jesus, and we can proclaim liberty to the captives. And we can be we can be ministers of reconciliation because we're connected to the vine. Not because of who we are, but we're connected with and to the vine. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus has saved you from your sins. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for creating in us a clean heart and a right spirit. Oh, that we would be renewed and refreshed by that reality again. That it could be a delight. We don't forget of what we've been saved of. Oh, praise God. Lord, would you allow us to bear fruit for you, that you could receive the honor and glory that you've died for? Would you allow us to bear fruit for you? Not so that we could have a name that's great for ourselves, but that his name could be lifted up, and that his name could be exalted, and that this house could be filled with the praise of the Lord because he's done so much. Back to the visual of the tree that's planted by the river, his leaf will not fade. So if you find yourself that your leaf is withering, or the joy of the Lord is not as present as you would like, you know, Jesus, to the church at Ephesus, he said, You've forgotten your first love. That wasn't a condemning word. That was an inviting word. And I just want to, hopefully you're hearing the invitingness of the Lord tonight. He's inviting you into, if you feel dry, Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I just want to leave that invitation with you tonight. Come. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be reminded of his glorious work on the cross for us as sinners. And he shall prosper. Latter part of verse 3, and he will prosper. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Here's a story of King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26. And this is how he found it. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And when he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbal and the Meathans. So that's how King Uzziah found it, that when he sought the Lord prospered his goings. And that can be your story. Will you make it your story? But he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's move on to verse 4, and we'll be looking at the chaff. I don't know how much of y'all are familiar with the chaff out of a combine, I don't know how much of a farming generation that's here, but that's where my mind goes, is that life, light, fluffy stuff, that's just waste. I don't even know if it makes good bird feeds. I do see pigeons out in the old wheat fields. Recently, I've noticed that they're out there, but I'm guessing they're getting more than just the chaff. I'm guessing there's some leftover grain out there that they're enjoying. And the scriptures here say that ungodly are not so. They shall not prosper. They shall not be like a tree, but they're going to be like chaff, which the wind driveth away. And back to the story of the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the floods came. And the house was destroyed. Children, how does that song go? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And what happens to the house on the sand? Would you just long to delight yourself in the Lord? Allow His word to be your strength. Allow Him and your relationship with Him to be your strength, so that you're not that like that chaff. The ungodly are not like a fruit, like a tree that's planted by the waters. So if you're tempted to struggle about the heathen that don't seem like life is a struggle, it's okay. They're going to be, according to God's word, they're going to be whoosh, like the chaff. And the wind driveth them away. They are cast out. The Apostle Paul was concerned about being a castaway. In 1 Corinthians 9:23, he says this, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye might obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bringeth it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And so he chose to discipline himself. Would you consider disciplining yourself and sitting with the Lord and meditating on His law day and night, so that you won't be a castaway? Paul had to discipline himself. Can we expect to be any less? I don't see how. Not in our generation, where the things of the world bombard us day and night. All the more, we need to be disciplined. We need to be temperate, lest I be a castaway. There's other scriptures that talk about the sheep and the goats. The tares are gathered and thrown into the fire. Jesus talks about stories about when a tree isn't bearing fruit, he gathers a tree and throws it in the fire. And that's because they weren't connected to the vine. They weren't relating to the Lord. All right, going on to I'll read verse 5 here, but I think we're going to move on to verse 2. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But verse 6, let's look at verse 6 here. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly are not. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord knows the righteous. How do we hear the voice of the Lord? Is it not by his Spirit and his word? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. In John 10:27, he talks about, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. My sheep know my voice, and they come at my call. The Lord delights in you. Do you desire to delight in him? The promise is yours. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Would faith increase in your hearts to love and worship him and be at awe and delight in him? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his all, his time is spent in the law, and he meditates, and he shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters, and he shall bring forth fruit, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And again, it's about that relationship with the Lord. It's not just the word, it's not just the law, it's that connection, it's that relationship that the Lord is inviting you to. I appreciated the song that we had sang earlier this evening, Psalm 136. I'm going to read the last verse here. Now, Father, now in thy dear presence kneeling, our spirits yearn to feel thy kindling love. Now make us strong. We need thy deep revealing of trust and strength and calmness from above. And I think that comes when we delight. It seems to me like the spirit of trust and strength and calmness happens in that awe and delight of the Lord. May that become a greater reality in my life. And I ask that the Lord would give it to you too.